Just as we told you, the world is going mad all around us. But we have an answer. We have a response.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I hate to say I told you so. I hate to say we've been telling you this is coming for years and years, but it's clear the war is on, the war against religious liberties, the war against religious freedoms, the war against moral sanity, it's on. The good news is I sit here as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society and chaos in a church all too often in compromise. The good news is that there are enough believers in America, I mean genuine followers of Jesus, I mean people who really believe God's word to be true. There are enough of us here in America that if we simply, with God's help and grace, started to live our faith out, if pastors and leaders took a no-compromise position and said, I'm not here to entertain, I'm not here to be popular, I'm here to equip you and strengthen you for battle, we could see America shaken. We could see a great awakening. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Yesterday, during the day, I just felt prompted to write an open letter to Bruce Springsteen, an open letter to Bruce Springsteen because of his cancellation of his concert in Greensboro, North Carolina. It would have been yesterday. It would have been Sunday. He canceled out because of North Carolina's bill HB2, which is a public bathroom safety act. And I wrote a gracious letter to him saying in his desire to do what's right, he has done what's wrong. It is going viral. You can read it by going to stream.org, stream.org. Read it and share it with your friends. Now, rock star Bryan Adams has canceled out a trip to Mississippi, a concert in Mississippi, because of Mississippi's religious liberties law. And the NBA, the National Basketball Association, has given North Carolina 30 days. You talk about bullying. We're giving you 30 days to change the law. Otherwise, we're pulling our all-star game from Charlotte, North Carolina next year. And the NAACP has threatened sit-ins. Sit-ins if the bill is not changed. We have warned you this was coming. We have warned you that there would be all-out bullying. We have warned you that those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. We have warned you of the intimidation tactics. We have told you these things were coming. We laid them out in detail years and years ago. I don't mean 6 months ago, but I mean 5 and 10 years ago. We were addressing these things and laid out many in detail. So now that it's unfolding, I'm grieved. I'm grieved for America, but I'm not surprised. The question is, what will we do? What will we, God's people, do? How will we respond? It's not a matter of hating people. It's not a matter of lashing out against people. It's a matter of doing what's right with firmness, with truth, and with love. Backbones of steel with hearts of compassion. Are you with me? Or are you also saying, enough is enough? I want to make a difference. What can I do? 866-348-7884. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about the NBA's threats? How do you feel about PayPal going to Cuba and working in China and Saudi Arabia, but not coming to do business in North Carolina? What do you think about Bryan Adams canceling his concert? We'll talk about all this and a lot more. 866-34-TRUTH.
The
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown. I've been stumbling on good hearts turned to stone. The road for good intentions is gone dry as a bone. We take care of our own.
This is Michael Brown. Now, I've just got to make a quick confession regarding Bruce Springsteen. I got saved in 71, so I heavily followed the rock scene, late 60s, early 70s. I was in it. I went to the concerts, played with a band, and then got saved. So I know the names. I know the name Bruce Springsteen. I knew the name like Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, these other groups, or you know, whoever the groups were. But if they were after 71, if they were in the later 70s, or if they're in the 80s or 90s or 2000s, I've heard about them, but I don't know much about them. So I, candidly, I would not have known that that was Bruce Springsteen singing. But I know his name is a very, very big name. Even as he's older, he's still big. And he explained that he was not going to come to North Carolina with apologies to his fans. He viewed HB 2, the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, that our state legislators passed and the governor signed into law despite tremendous backlash. In his view, the bill is, quote, an attempt by people who cannot stand the progress our country has made in recognizing the human rights of all of our citizens to overturn that progress. He added that it was time for him and his band, quote, to show solidarity for those freedom fighters, speak of transgender activists. And he ended his statement with these words: some things are more important than a rock show. And this fight against prejudice and bigotry, which is happening as I write, is one of them. It is the strongest means I have for raising my voice in opposition to those who continue to push us backwards instead of forwards. And his guitarist, Steven Van Zandt, has likened HB2, so the North Carolina bill, to, quote, an evil virus that is spreading through the United States in the form of similar legislation. So let's first understand something. When you have a state like Mississippi saying we want to protect the religious liberties of people in our state, we do not want to force them. So this would have happened in Georgia. We do not want to force a pastor to perform a wedding of two men or two women if his conscience forbids that. Well, of course, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, it's a no-brainer. Who would differ with that? The NFL threatening Georgia, Hollywood threatening, big business threatening. So now you're saying you can't protect religious liberties? If you're a photographer, a Christian photographer, and someone says, hey, we're having this Satan fest, this horror Satan fest, we'd like you to shoot it, you go, no, I can't do this, a violation of my religious beliefs. Now, they're free to practice that, yes. They're free under our Constitution to be Satanists. And we're free to say, sorry, we won't participate, right? The same thing in 1,000 different areas that would violate our conscience. Oh, but if it's two men that want to, quote, marry, and you're a Christian photographer, you're supposed to say, okay, I throw away my beliefs. I throw away the fact that I believe this is sinful in God's sight. I throw away the fact that I don't believe it's a marriage at all. I'm going to pose two men to smooch and hug and all this and in the right lighting, even though it's a violation of everything sacred to me about marriage and family and gender. I'm going to sacrifice that. No, that's madness. That's social madness. And no one should think for a split second that it's fair to impose that on a person of faith, whoever they are. I don't think it's fair that if you went to a gay t-shirt maker, they make all kinds of logos and images, and you say, hey, I want you to make this for me, Leviticus 18:22. I want you to have a logo of two men holding hands and the X sign over it. And he says, hey, I'm okay. I'm not going to do that. He should have the right to say that. You say, what do? You bring your business somewhere else. That's your prerogative. And tell your friends not to go there. That's your prerogative. And the Christian photographer that's not going to shoot the gay wedding, that's their prerogative. And if you don't like it, take your business somewhere else. Tell your friends not to go. That's fine. That's how we operate. But by all means, you must protect the religious liberties of individuals and businesses and churches. When it comes to HB2, that was not the main focus. That was a subset. The main focus was bathrooms. The main focus was keeping bathrooms safe. You say, oh, well, hang on. Here's an 18-year-old, was 20 years old. They just had sex change surgery. They were on hormone blockers growing up. They were born biological male, but they've had sex change surgery. They've adjusted their birth certificate, and they look like a woman, and you'd never know they weren't a woman. Well, you'd never know, right? No one's standing outside the bathroom saying, show me your birth certificate before you go in there. But when you have a man, as I asked Bruce Springsteen, okay, let's say you have a guy who's, say, 6'4", used to be a football player, and struggled for years with his gender identity, always felt like he was actually a woman. Now he's on hormones, but he's still very clearly a big man. Everybody knows he's a big man. But he wears a wig, and he's wearing a dress, and he wants to use the ladies' room. Okay, what about the 8-year-old girl she's in the library? The bathroom is right down the hallway, the girls' room. Her mommy says, okay, just go down the hallway there. You're a big girl, now you know what to do. And she goes in there, and mommy's sitting, you know, watching. And then the man comes walking in. What do you tell the 8-year-old girl? Oh, well, see, he's very confused. Well, see, he's actually male to female pre-op. No, that's not fair to the little girl. You say, well, what's the guy to do? If he chooses to wear that outfit and feels that's being true to himself, then he's going to have to go to places that have single stalls, or, you know, it's just a unisex, just one room or two. Anyone can go in there and you close the door or whatever. So it's a hardship. Yes, it's a hardship, but you can't impose his struggle on everybody else and risk traumatizing the kids. And then I asked Bruce Springsteen how he'd feel, say, if his wife or daughter, they're in the YMCA, they're using the locker room there. They come out of the shower stall, they've got towels wrapped around themselves, and here's a guy, he's not a sexual predator, all right? He's the 6'4" former football player, wearing a dress, and now he's in the locker room there in his underwear, and they come walking out. Is that fair to them and the other ladies? How can anyone possibly think so? Yet you're going to penalize? You are going to penalize the children, the women, everybody else? Now let's go one step further. Under current law, if that man walked into the bathroom, the librarian or someone could say, sir, you can't use that. That's the ladies' room. No, I'm actually a woman. Sir, you're a biological male. You can't use the ladies' room. I'm very sorry. Okay, but you can't do that. If you overturn this, if you go with the radical bill that the Charlotte City Council passed, you can't do that in that case. The guy can just go walking right in. Well, how can you tell the difference between that guy, who's not a sexual predator, who's in genuine internal agony over his gender identity, and who actually feels it's important enough for him to dress like that, okay? And take all the flack and problems that come. How do you distinguish between him and the guy who's a voyeur? When you have these laws in your schools, you're telling me that you don't know a bunch of high school guys who wouldn't use these laws and wouldn't use these rules to access the ladies' room and say, hey, I identify as a girl. That's how I identify this week. How are you going to keep him out? On what basis? You're going to have an interview at the door of the bathroom? All right, let's see. Prove to me that you're really transgender. And then what is really transgender? Is it all a matter of just what you think, what you feel, what you perceive? If that's the case, then how do you make laws based on that? I mean, check it out. My latest video is about the man who believed he's a woman, but now who believes he's a female mythical dragon, has had nose and ears removed and tongue forked, and just watch the video. So ask Dr. Brown, SKDR Brown, on YouTube. I'm just asking simple questions, and these are the questions I asked Bruce Springsteen. And then I asked at the end, I said, hey, When you booked the concert in Greensboro, North Carolina, the laws in North Carolina were just as they are today. In public facilities, people had to use the bathrooms and locker rooms that correspond to their biological sex. Why, then, did you agree to come in the first place? Why cancel the concert when things today are just what they were 6 months ago? Be sure to read this and share it with others. We come back, I'll get your feedback on all this. 866-34-TRUTH. And we'll talk these things through. So I'm going to the phones next, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. All right, grab for me clip number four, Joey. This is Charles Barkley, NBA star, sitting down with CNN to discuss his views on the North Carolina legislation. Now, it turns out that there was an article purportedly from ABC News on the internet that we saw and then posted that said the NBA had given North Carolina a 30-day ultimatum, and if they didn't change the laws, they were going to pull the All-Star game, etc., and they would not stand for such intolerance and hate. Apparently, that article was a hoax. Yes, the NBA has expressed its displeasure and threatened, but apparently that article is a hoax, so we just posted something from the Charlotte Observer to that effect. But listen to what Charles Barkley had to say.
You know, as a black person, I'm against any form of discrimination against whites, Hispanics, gays, lesbians, however you want to phrase it. It's my job with a position of power that I'm in, being able to be on television, I'm supposed to stand up for the people who can't stand up for themselves. So I think the NBA should move the All-Star game from Charlotte.
Why? Okay, here. I like the fact that Charles Barkley, who used to say, and by the way, the site was a legitimate site. When we posted the article, it was a legitimate site, but it was a hoax. In other words, it was put up as a legitimate site, and we saw no immediate repudiation of it either, by the way. But just getting word out there, if it's some bizarre site, we check. But this was a legitimate site. The whole thing was done as a hoax, though, to look like that site. Charles Barkley, many years ago as a player, said, "Hey, look, I'm not a role model." I appreciate the fact that Barkley has now said that he has a position of power. He's going to speak up for the underprivileged and so on. But hang on. Charles, don't you care about everybody else who's not identifying as transgender? Don't you care about laws that open the door for sexual predators that could prey on women and children? Don't you care about the religious liberties of people those are our most fundamental liberties in America? Our country was founded on it. Do you not care about them? And there are plenty of options for those who identify as transgender. They do not have to force their struggles on everyone else. Plus, shouldn't we be looking to help them rather than celebrate their problems? Shouldn't we be looking to help them? Isn't that what compassion does? 866-34-TRUTH to the phone, starting in Richmond. No, we will start in New Rochelle, New York. Tony, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Shalom. I want to thank you for your platform, and I encourage you to continue. I was wondering if you could just clarify something for me. Jesus once said that money was the root, or is the root of all evil. And I just need to ask you this because I feel like you're able to answer it. Who is funding the homosexual supremacist movement in America? I remind you that Hitler never became Hitler until he got into politics. Homosexuals have done the same thing. So am I to believe that everything that's being passed for them is because they have found homosexual legislators? What is the problem in America that we cannot honor a heterosexual Holy Jehovah God?
Thank you. Here's, and thank you for the kind words and the question. Yeah, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6 that the love of money is the root of all evil or all kinds of evil. And here's what's happened. Gay activists have been very shrewd in what they've done. Gay activists have, for example, worked hard. The Human Rights Campaign puts out what's called the Corporate Equality Index, and they rate companies based on how they respond to gay activist goals. And they've become influential enough. Basically, they said, look, we have a lot of money in our lobby. We have perhaps more expendable cash than others, and we are good customers, and we are good workers in your companies. So you want to make sure that you're favorable to our cause. So it became something of stature to be rated well by the HRC. And if you were not rated well, then you were kind of blacklisted or looked on negatively. So they have gotten big business as corporate allies. And then they have made this into a politically correct moment, that they have hijacked the civil rights movement and made this into the new civil rights movement. Gay has become the new black. So because of that, what's happened now is there's tremendous pressure on those who want to stand up and do what's right. And it comes from big business. And then it comes politically also, because this is the hot potato, that if you don't stand for gay activism, you're going to be called a bigot or a racist or a homophobe or whatever. And as a result, it goes badly for you. Now, here's the whole problem in a nutshell, Tony. The large number of conservatives in America, and particularly conservative Christians, have been relatively silent. If we together took our business to other places, if we together took our business away from certain people whose actions were offensive, if we together spoke to the NBA and the NFL and these others, they would not have much to say, because they care about money, the bottom line also. I'm not saying we're nasty. It's just, you know, PayPal, with what you did, I can't in good conscience continue to use you. Our ministry is actively looking into replacing PayPal with a good Christian alternative. So all we have to do is just, you know, in conscience, we can't support this, and things would turn dramatically. All right, listen, friends, I'm going to continue to take calls into the next half hour. So Anne, David, Sabrina, you're next. To all my dear friends in WMCA, WAVA, FM, remember, you can keep listening online at AskDrBrown.org on your cell phone. In fact, you can keep listening for another hour and a half on your computer, on your tablet, or you can catch the broadcast later in the day, the whole 2 hours, by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest broadcast. Okay, we got a great response to a special announcement last week, so we are continuing this week. Oh, in just about 3 weeks, my newest book, The Grace Controversy, will be out. And you can get a collector's edition from the first printing, signed, numbered copies. So, for example, if you're order number 3 or order number 68 or 100, whatever, it'll be numbered. It's only the first few hundred we number. I'll sign it to you with a scripture reference. I love that opening day when I've got the book stacked on my desk and each name to sign and put a reference in for you. And I answer the 12 most common questions I get asked about grace. Is grace a person? Does the Holy Spirit convict believers of sin? Does God see us as righteous? What does it mean to be under grace and not the law? If God requires anything of us as believers, how is that grace? And on. Super practical, and will ground you in the beauty of grace. And the best thing, just $20 postage paid for this collector's first printing edition. Call 1-800-278-9978. Order as many copies as you want. Just give us the names you want to sign. 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-348-7884. Yeah, there is more and more outcry against Mississippi, more and more outcry against North Carolina. I'm praying for our legislators to stand strong, for the governors to stand strong. And look, Governor Mike Pence in Indiana, understand it to be a fine Christian man in many ways, he caved last year. And other legislators caved last year when they came under pressure from gay activism. It was mind-boggling. I mean, within days, a complete capitulation. I've said for years, this is the unspoken mantra of gay activism. We will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. And all we need is Christian leaders, individuals, conservatives, people of conscience, elected officials to say, we're not going to capitulate. It's that simple. It's that simple. Unfortunately, Indiana caved. Governor of Arkansas caved. Governor of Arizona caved. Governor of Virginia caved in terms of bills that could have been passed. If they had just stood, Governor of Georgia, if they had just stood, things would look very, very different today. And of course, things are far from over. And the greatest issue is an awakening in the church and the rising standards among God's people would then affect society as a whole. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Madison, New Jersey. Ann, thanks for holding. Welcome to the line of fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. When these anti-religious freedom tactics began in Indiana, I was totally outraged. There's something fundamentally wrong when basketball games and Angie's List is determining my religious freedom. The only thing I could think of when that happened was I saw pictures of Catholic nuns and rabbis when they initially tried to get this law through. And I thought to myself, what are these nuns and rabbis, what's going through their mind that a basketball game and Angie's List is determining my religious freedom? I mean, this is outrage. This is fundamentally wrong.
You're absolutely right. It's absolutely outrageous. And what happens is sometimes you have liberal clergy and they are not holding to the truths of Scripture. They're not holding to the historic orthodoxy of their respective faiths. They think that they are taking the cause of social justice by standing with the oppressed LGBT community. The fact is, you can tell people you love them and care for them. The fact is, you can be a good neighbor and a good friend in the midst of your differences. You can have a lesbian couple that's your neighbor, and you can say, hey, you know, we're Christians. And they say, well, does that mean you hate us? No, we don't believe your relationship is marriage, but that's between you and God. We're your neighbors. And if you ever need anything, just let us know. We're here to help. You love people. Everyone's the same in that respect. Everyone needs the Lord. But you have clergy sometimes, and they are so liberal. They're so distant from the Scripture or from the historic faith that they think somehow that they're doing the noble thing to recognize LGBT activism, as opposed to saying, listen, the biggest issue is freedom of religion. Our country was not founded on sexual freedoms. Our country was founded on religious liberty and freedom of conscience and speech.
I mean, a basketball game is determining my religious freedom? I mean...
Look, the threats are out. They're utterly outrageous, Anne, that someone is going to the NFL is going to threaten to remove a Super Bowl from Houston, Texas, or not consider Atlanta, Georgia, if they have religious freedom bills or bills that keep bathrooms and locker rooms safe. It's outlandish, Anne. But yet, if politicians are going to cave to big business and sports, that's what we're going to see. We must vote the wrong people out and vote the right people in and encourage Christians in these industries to take a stand.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, I believe if Christians will stand up for what's right, if legislators will stand up for what's right, if elected officials will stand up for what's right, God will bless those states. I believe that. I believe that he will honor that. I believe that he will stand with righteousness. And I believe that there will be growth and progress as a result. Look, Charlotte did not have these gay activist, transgender activist laws on the books 6 months ago. They did not. And yet Charlotte was, what, maybe city number three in terms of the most forward-moving economic cities in America. And I believe seven of the top 10 on Forbes' lists of businesses, cities moving forward economically. Seven out of the 10 did not have these gay activists and transgender activist laws on the books. So what does that tell you? Tells you can do just fine and people can do just fine without them, and let every private company set up whatever they want as their own customs in-house. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Silver Spring, Maryland. David, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you so much. It's always a joy, and thanks for the wisdom of Solomon when you teach us, school us, and educate us, and it's so appreciated, number one.
Thank you.
Number two is, on this whole position, I'm handicapped. I've been handicapped since the 70s, and for a long time, we were, as you know, not in the mainstream, and we had a lot of difficulties. Now I go to take care of business, and I have a female attendant. And at the airports, bless God, they have put in the unisex bathrooms that make this issue moot, because now I have help going in as opposed to trying to fight my way into the men's room with the woman attendant.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes in our country, we're way too litigious, and we really create more hate than love that should be out there. And perhaps the answer is something that when you got to go, you got to go. It's not meant to be a litigious issue. Focus on what has to be done and not just make sex at the forefront. That's my thought, sir.
Yeah, David, and thanks for pushing forward these many years. You know, I did not park in the past in handicapped spots. And if you had to run in somewhere and that was the close one, I didn't do it. But I would never do it once I heard a handicapped person say, you know, sometimes we're the last ones to get those spots because others spot. I thought, oh, boy, yikes. So, I mean, there's a whole world. Sometimes I'm in a hotel and, you know, I check in late. So the room I have is a handicapped room. Things are lower down. You've got bars and things. And I always think, wow, you know, struggles. I can't relate to struggles you go through. So from that perspective, sir, what do you think is the solution? You have lots of smaller places of business. They don't have the luxury of having a third bathroom or something like that. Do you think we should try to do that? Just say, hey, even though transgender is different than someone whose legs are crippled, and you know that's a physical condition, transgender for the most part is what someone just perceives. But if you say, okay, they have a different type of a handicap or a different type of issue, do we try to have a unisex bathroom and then that solves the problem? I mean, what's your counsel in that?
Well, my wisdom would be that last part, for starters. And many small businesses now are opening up with unisex because of the handicap issue. But there's your win-win as opposed to making it one that's contentious. We've made so much contention out of so many things when there's so many issues that are greater than this one that we seem to ignore. And yet we'll waste time on this for the sake of what is the greater good and the greater benefit.
Yeah, and
I have with my handicap, and people make choices and they have to live with it. If it's, I don't know the answer for them, but if there's an easy fix without everybody hating each other and doing stupid stuff for stupidity reasons and not God-centered, I have a problem with that.
Yeah, and see, the problem here, of course, is let's just say you want to say this is legitimate transgender, the person genuinely believes they're, say, a woman trapped in a man's body. There's no way of distinguishing that person from the heterosexual predator who uses the law as a loophole to get into, you know,
that's totally correct. And that is the position as a lawyer that I would propose that why you would not support all this ridiculousness.
Right. And then the other thing is, okay, at what point do we draw the line? In other words, if it's all perception is reality, and I know there are some people with biological and chromosomal abnormalities. That's a whole other issue and a whole other handicap to address. But for the most part, the vast majority of cases, you're dealing with people who simply perceive themselves to be a certain thing. So I've got a video up about a man who perceived himself to be a woman, now perceives himself to be a female dragon. What do we do for them? You know, what room do they use? And so it's imposing a burden because of something undefinable and untestable, rather than saying, okay, look, if it's important to you, sir, to wear a dress and a wig, and that's important to your sanity and your identity, there are consequences to it. No, nobody should be able to beat you up. Of course, you should be protected. But if you want to teach at a nursery school, a Christian nursery school, and say, no, that the four-year-olds, that would be a little traumatic for them. Okay, you made the choice to dress like that, and you have to respect the liberties of that school. And it wouldn't be any different than a Christian wearing a cross, volunteering to teach at a Jewish school. They say, well, actually, we're Jews here. The cross is offensive. That's totally their prerogative to do that. But look, whenever we can have a situation that helps someone who's weak, we do it. Or someone who's struggling, we do it. But the last point, and David, you mentioned how litigious our society is. There's a case, for example, this is not isolated. In Georgia, there was a woman who gave birth to her child. Then after giving birth, she felt that she was male. So the child's mother now became the child's father. And then the child, at about the age of 3, let's say it was a boy, began to say, I'm a girl. So kids 8 years old in a rural school in Georgia and wants to now use the girls' room. Well, that traumatized some of the students and upset parents. So they said, tell you what, there is a unisex bathroom for the faculty. It's just a single private bathroom. Your child can use that bathroom. And the mother/father said, no, she must use the girls' bathroom. And that is the outrageous overreach of the activism. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Sabrina in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I just want to say that I just really love your show. I'm going to be really quick. I was born and raised in North Carolina, and I really want people to pray for North Carolina that they don't fall, you know, and just to stand up. But I think it's absolutely outrageous that anybody in their right mind would agree with anything so ridiculous as this bathroom. It's okay, I feel like this today, and I'm going to go into the girls' bathroom, even though I'm just like a man. I love everybody, and I don't have anything against anybody, and I pray for everybody. But my thing is, if you're going through a situation that you don't know what or who you are, and you can't identify, I agree that your issue that you're trying to get straight or trying to figure out, I don't think that it should be imposed on anybody else. I don't think if you know that you're a man, you have men and women, the men should go in the men's bathroom and the women should go in the women's bathroom. If you're twisted and you don't know what you are, then I don't think maybe they should put a bathroom with a question mark on it and allow those people to go in there. At least that would give them an outlet so that people who know that I am a woman, that I don't have to go into the bathroom and be, you know, in case there's a man in here, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you really, I don't know how I'm going to be able to react to that if I see a man that I can clearly see as a man that's coming into the bathroom, because I think that's opening the door for pedophiles.
Of course.
It's opening the door for other perverse things that come on our children. Making mothers, it's making mothers, you're normally, okay, honey, if you're 12 years old, go ahead and go to the bathroom. Now when this craziness, anybody in their mind, I just can't believe people think it's only people that are not in the spirit. But anyway, for mothers to say, no, we're going to have to go up with our 13-year-old and our 15-year-old, because it depends on how mature that a 15 or 12 or 11 is, how they're going to be able to approach that.
Yeah, and look, Sabrina, there are also women who've been raped, and they're flipping out. They said, wait, do you understand how traumatic it is when there's a biological male? And oh, no, he's not a predator. Well, first, they're terribly uncomfortable anyway with a male in there. You know, I've got granddaughters that are 15 that are 9. They would be terribly uncomfortable with the presence of a biological male. And then, look, University in Toronto, they had these, you know, unisex bathrooms and all this stuff. Showers, they stopped it because guys were coming in there with cell phones and holding them up over the shower stalls to film the girls. What do you expect? Sabrina, it's madness. Yes, we need to pray for the leaders in North Carolina and Mississippi to stand up and for others to stand.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's Bryan Adams. Now, to be candid, I didn't know his music either, but apparently pretty popular rock star, and canceled his concert in Mississippi. He should read my open letter to Bruce Springsteen. And, of course, the emphasis in Mississippi is religious liberties. In North Carolina, it's bathroom, locker room safety. But I know these people think they're standing up for the right cause. What they're doing is completely standing up on the wrong side and standing against the very fundamental liberties that made our nation what it is. 866-348-7884. Friends, please make sure that you're connected with us either by social media or by our email blast. We're writing 3 to 5 new articles every week, 10 hours of broadcasting every week, and 2, 3, sometimes 4 new videos every week. Relevant material, and here's the best thing. You can share it with others. My Bruce Springsteen article, for example, just on the Stream website, stream.org, since it came out yesterday afternoon, so less than 24 hours ago, it's been shared, let's see, just on that website, 25,000 times. So it's getting out. I can be your voice. The video about the man who became a woman, then a dragon, that got posted, last night? And it's been viewed on our YouTube channel over 5,000 times already. You can share this with others. So go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. It's all free, all right, through the giving of our torchbearers, our monthly supporters, and generosity of individuals who help us. We're able to put all these things up for free and produce them and put them up for you. And your support is invaluable. If you're blessed by these resources, help us. And you can amplify our voice. You can multiply what we're doing. Instead of reaching 10,000, we can reach 100,000. Instead of reaching 100,000, reach a million. Instead of reaching a million, we reach 10 million. On Facebook, 1 week, we reached over 50 million people just on Facebook because another one shared, another one shared, another one commented, another one passed this on, another one liked. And before you know it, it's having a revolutionary impact. So by all means, take advantage of these resources, share them with others. When you go to my website, if you want to get an email blast 2-3 times a week, that'll tell you, okay, here's the latest articles, videos, resources. Sign up there. Special announcements are there as well. You'll see a little email icon. Connect with us. Subscribe on YouTube. Join us on Facebook or Twitter. All the icons are there. It takes you a couple seconds to fill them out to connect. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Boston, Massachusetts. Candy, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. This topic is so big right now. Just thinking about women's shelters, we make it a big deal to separate men and women, but now we're allowing men, even if they're dressed as men and look like men, to sleep in women's shelters in the women's dorms just because they identify as female. We're fighting so much. Oh, sorry?
No, okay, Candy. Are you involved with women's shelters?
I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so you're saying now in Massachusetts, if a man comes in even dressed as a man and says, I identify as a woman, you're required to let him stay with the women in the women's shelter? In the dorm.
Yeah.
So to sleep where they sleep and to use the same bathrooms and showers? And
yes. Yes, and even if the women, they've brought up so many issues and they're uncomfortable with the situation, it's not heard because legally we can't deny that person a bed. So it's like you're fighting so much to defend one group's rights, but how about the rights of the women that are in that shelter that aren't comfortable with the situation?
And
that's kind of overlooked.
They're not comfortable for good reason. It's not like you got a bunch of white women and say, we don't like blacks. Or you got a bunch of blacks who say, we don't like Asians. No, you're talking about a women's shelter for women. They have enough issues. They have enough to overcome. They've probably been abused enough to now let a biological male in there. Okay, number one, how can you distinguish the genuinely confused man who thinks he's a woman from the sexual predator or from the voyeur who just wants to go in there and check out the ladies, or maybe, you know, they're easy pickings. They've already been abused. I mean, it's absolute madness.
It is, definitely. And it's, thinking of the kids growing up in this era, it's so confusing. You know, you try to explain to your children as Christians what it is that, you know, we stand for, and they're so confused by society and what they see in schools and, you know, around them. It's scary.
Alan Dershowitz was on CNN the other day discussing the North Carolina bill, and Ben Ferguson, a conservative radio host, was on there. And Ben Ferguson was just saying, look, you know, the men don't go into the ladies' rooms. It's pretty simple. And Alan Dershowitz is, you know, he's a brilliant lawyer and Harvard professor. Well, it's not so simple. Oh, so all the hospitals, they should, when the baby's born, it's a boy, it's a girl, or the ultrasound, it's a boy, it's a girl. We should say, we have no idea. We really don't know.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's an it. And then in 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years, when they really know, maybe they still don't know.
I mean,
it's societal madness. So Candy, you're saying that you have no legal recourse right now?
We can't. We have to allow them to come in and stay in the shelters,
and
regardless of what they look like.
And they don't have to show you any documentation or
nothing. As long as they say, I feel I'm a female and I need a bed, you have to allow them in.
And this is something this is not theory. This has actually happened.
Yeah.
And what have the women said?
Well, the women definitely, you know, come down and they complain and they, you know, express their feelings. But then all you could say to them is, you know, there's nothing really we can do legally. We cannot tell that person that they can't sleep there.
Extraordinary. A woman's shelter. That's why you have a men's shelter and a woman's shelter. And you know what's the most wild thing of all, Candy? Let's just say that someone had money and resources and said, you know what? I'm going to have a transgender shelter for those who identify as transgender.
Yeah.
There'd be an outcry. No, that's transphobic. And they really are women. And they should be able to use. I mean, that's what would happen.
Definitely. And you know what? That would make more sense, because that way you can be comfortable wherever you are instead of making people around you uncomfortable. You know what? If they want to fight for, you know, their comfort and being accepted, but then we also have to think of the other people that aren't okay with it and are uncomfortable, because now we're making other people not feel safe.
And for good reason. For good reason they're uncomfortable. And in some cases, for good reason, they don't feel safe. You do not impose the hardship of, say, 3 or 4 people out of 1,000 on everyone else. It's almost like saying you got kids in school, and these kids in school, there are 800 kids in the school, but there's one who's blind. So now everyone has to use Braille, and they have to read with their eyes closed. Because what you're saying here is the struggling man is now going to have his struggles imposed on all the women and open the door for heterosexual predators. Candy, we need revival. We need awakening. If you haven't contacted massresistance.org, make sure they know about this, and we'll do our best to publicize this around the nation. My bottom line today, do you believe me now? We need a cultural revolution. Just as we told you, the world is going mad all around us, but we have an answer. We have a response.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I would honestly rather be wrong. I would honestly rather say, boy, I thought this was going to happen, that was going to happen, and it didn't, and I am so glad I was wrong. The fact is, we haven't been wrong. The fact is, we have warned for years about where we are, what's coming next. And here we are, things unfolding in front of our eyes. The good news is, as I have been a voice to warn you of what's coming and what we are now experiencing, the good news is that I can also be a voice to encourage you that the tide can turn by the grace of God. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. My last call in the last hour. My last call in the last hour, a woman who works at homeless shelters, okay? She works at a homeless shelter in the Boston area of Massachusetts, a women's shelter. So you have a men's shelter, you have a woman's shelter. Why? To keep men and women separated. And many of these people have been abused. And in some cases, they are abusers, you know, homeless people and so on with every kind of background and hardship and often addictions and things like that. So you need a bed, men over here, women over here. However, this is posted by National Center for Transgender Equality, HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development, all right, the Department of Housing and Urban Development. This is government. They have told homeless shelters to respect self-identified gender. This was just confirmed to us by the woman who called in, our last caller. So what does it mean? It means you have a women's shelter. You have women who are homeless. Certainly many of them have been abused. Certainly many of them have been attacked. Certainly many of them have been victimized by men, especially as homeless women. I'm sure there's a disproportionately high number that have said they've been abused, etc. If a man walks into the homeless shelter, he is homeless, he identifies as a woman, he is dressed as a man, or he's dressed as a woman, but everyone can tell he's a man, and he says, yeah, I identify as a woman. You are required to give him a bed. You are required to allow him to share the facilities, bathroom, shower. But what about all the women? What about the rights of all the women? What about their concerns? Doesn't matter. That is the insanity of the situation today. And what do you do with young people and older, but we'll focus on young for a moment, who identify as gender fluid? And they're boy one day, girl the next, both the next, and neither the next. What category or non-category do you put them in, or does it literally change by the day? There are young people. National Public Radio did a whole report on this a few years ago, and I've quoted it often. I have it at length in my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where the young people are pushing back against the binary gender. They're pushing back against the male-female categories. They're pushing back against the adult establishment. And some change pronouns by the hour. And some make up pronouns. And some say, this is true. This is true. High school students, college students, don't call me he or she. Call me tractor. I don't even identify as human. And we're just supposed to say, oh, yes, of course. Well, we'll make a parking space for you then if you identify as tractor. My, oh, my, oh, my. We'll be right back.
Send it, Lord. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am delighted to be with you today. So glad to be able to serve you, equip you, strengthen you, and encourage you. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884 is the number to call to get in the conversation. If you consider yourself a trans activist or a trans ally or simply a transgender person and feel I'm missing the point or I'm not sufficiently compassionate to your situation or misrepresenting things, give me a call. If you consider yourself a gay or lesbian activist or ally or sympathizer or simply someone that takes issue with me on this, by all means, give me a call. 866-348-7884. So I wrote an open letter to Bruce Springsteen yesterday. Someone on Twitter said, why don't you do it? And I thought, maybe, I don't know. And then I saw a band member of his said that bills like HB2 in North Carolina, the Bathroom Privacy Act, that they're like an evil virus spreading through America. Religious liberties bills as well, like an evil virus. And suddenly I felt right, and it came out very, very naturally and quickly. And I looked at it carefully, made sure the tone was right and expressed things adequately, sent it out. And it's going viral. It's getting shared on numerous websites and getting a lot of attention. If you haven't read it, the easiest way is go to stream.org, and read the article. It's been shared over 25,000 times in the first 24 hours just on that one site alone. Share it with your friends. I believe it will speak to issues with clarity. And listen, I've written stuff not knowing who's going to read it and then heard from people who read it, and I was surprised. I was surprised by people who read it. The other day, I was doing radio, and a caller called in from Boston, and he was bemoaning the situation he was in. His wife had left, I think, an affair, an abusive relationship. They got a divorce. He was given full custody of the children. But now, his wife was fighting to get custody back because he was taking the kids to church and teaching them the Bible. And a judge said that he couldn't do that. Absolutely outrageous. Well, it so happened that someone from the governor's office was listening and heard that and got hold of the man and said, hey, we're going to help. We're going to help you. I've written open letters, and to my surprise, you know, people I have no access to, or a sports star or something else, say, hey, I'm going to write it. It's on my heart to write. It's instructive to write. It addresses the issue. And then been pleased to see some people that would be surprising have read it, or it's being discussed, or action is being taken or not taken. So this is how I can serve as your voice. And if you're blessed by what we write, share it with others. Same with the radio broadcast. If we're articulating things for you, if we're helping you, share it with others. My goal is not to entertain. I hope the show is enjoyable, but my goal is to equip. If I was a pastor, my goal would not be to entertain you and turn this into a Christian country club. My goal would be to raise up spiritual soldiers, men and women of courage and faith and love with solid families who are going to go out and make a positive impact on the world. That's why we're here. 866-348-7884. We go to Steve somewhere in New Jersey. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. God bless you, sir.
God bless you.
I just want to, first of all, thank you for being a voice. You're right on point. I was watching yesterday the video of the guitar player from Bruce Springsteen's band, and the things he was saying is very disturbing. And just when you look at media and TV and music today and what they're pushing on us. And, you know, I have two young daughters that I'm raising, and it looks like they, you know, they want us to think a certain way. It's like they want our kids to be confused. But
And look, it's a heavy bombardment, Stephen. Kids grow up even in Christian homes, and what they hear in the schools, what they hear in social media, what they see on TV in Hollywood, is so one-sided, often fictitious, exaggerated, that when they're so bombarded by that, and then often they get 10 times more exposure to that stuff than to the gospel or to godly values. Yeah, we need to recognize the moral and cultural battle we're in. And let's just think for a minute. If all TV was racist, if all TV was degrading to African Americans and treated them like dirt and bought into myths about white supremacy, etc., and then social media was all over that, we'd say, hey, kids, we're shutting off the TV here and we're getting off social media because that's ugly and that's sick and that's destructive. Well, when you have things celebrating homosexuality, celebrating transgenderism, bashing the gospel, bashing Christian values, bashing Christian liberties, painting false, misleading pictures, hey, we need to look at this the same way and be countercultural and say, how can we pour good into our kids, which is loving everybody and caring for everybody? How can we pour good into our kids and get them away from all the trash? Because otherwise, the influence is tremendously powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's madness, you know. And one point while you were talking about the transgender bathroom issue, you know, you were saying that they want us to sympathize with people's struggles and stuff like that. It just got me thinking. I was a heroin addict for years, and before I came to the Lord. And you know, at one time I thought that, you know, me doing heroin was like who I was supposed to be before, you know, the word of God changed me. And it got me thinking, like, that the mindset nowadays, it's like it would say, like, for a drug addict, like, you know, that was a struggle for me and that's who I thought I was supposed to be. So it's like saying, well, my drugs should be legal and I should be able to do them in public and go in public restrooms and do them while there's kids in there. I mean, that sounds extreme and crazy, but it sounds crazy to me to say.
Yeah, I understand.
In a woman's bathroom.
And look, if the guy, let's just say that shooting heroin, okay, it's illegal, you're hurting yourself, and someone could say, you know, here's just someone who really identifies this way, and it's not a choice they would make. Why would someone make a choice to make themselves uncomfortable? I'm sympathetic to that. I've got an older relative that's his situation. I don't know if he basically cut me off from communication a few years back. I don't know if he went fully and had sex change surgery. At this point, he'd be in his 70s. But, you know, the fact is, okay, how do we quantify this? How do we measure this? How do we test for it? Someone told me a personal story. I didn't know, but thank you for the call, Stephen. Thank God for his deliverance and bringing you freedom. So look, there's a young man, a former student, told me a story. I had no idea about this. We have thousands of students in many states and countries, so you know, no one's going to figure out who I'm talking about. But he told me his own story, that the father began to struggle at a certain point in life with identifying as a woman. And when he basically put his own needs before the needs of his wife and family, he drove her to destruction. It utterly destroyed her life. And now he's going ahead with doing what he feels is right. Okay, he has intense struggles. I'm not minimizing those. I can't relate to them. But the world does not revolve around me and my struggles. And if there's certain ways where my struggles are going to impose on others, then I'm going to have to deal with my struggles because I cannot impose them on everyone else. Look, if you can only drive at 20 miles an hour, that's all you can drive. You can't go on the highway. It's dangerous. I'm not being unsympathetic. I'm being realistic. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Richard in Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have kind of just a little situation that I encountered and wasn't quite sure how to handle it. Had an acquaintance that over a period of time and conversations with a young man that about 21 years old, and after a period of time he wanted to talk to us one day and talked, when I say us, I'm talking about my wife and myself, and he told us that he was going to do the transgender change. So he has started on this. He's going to counseling now and in the process of doing it. And this was quite a shock to us that never had this approach before, that when somebody comes up and hits you with it, you know, and didn't really know how to handle the situation. Had tried to talk to him a little bit about some things and about how God created, you know, man and woman.
Yep, yep.
And so this is what it is, and he's in this process now, and to try to love people and still go on, it really has put a kind of a...
Yeah, it's difficult. Roadblock. All right, stay right there. We come back. I want to recommend a couple of websites that will be helpful for you and for him, and give you counsel as to how I'd approach this. Hey, Andrew, I want to talk to you next. Stay right there.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So, Richard... in Virginia, the first thing, a couple of websites to look at, and one in particular to refer your young friend to. One is sexchangeregret.com. People who had sex change surgery and have deeply regretted it, documentation on it, and it's run by a man who had sex change surgery and lived to regret it. Sexchangeregret.com.
Yes, sir.
And the other is Help for Families, the number four, helpforfamilies.com. That's a website that Denise Schick started. Denise had a father who identified as a woman and who felt he needed to share that secret with his daughter when she was a little girl, and she lived through all the trauma of that. And as she said in her book about My Daddy's Little Secret, she said, nothing prepares you for seeing your father take his bra off. So she's lived through that. So that's Help for Families, number four, helpforfamilies.com. And then Walt Heyer, who himself had sex change surgery, only to live to regret it, sexchangeregret.com. You'll find those to be very, very helpful, informative. Now, one other thing, as far as this young man, does he claim to be a follower of Jesus?
No.
Okay. So the biggest thing is to be there as a friend and to really help him know the Lord. Because unless there's some biological chromosomal abnormality and he's, you know, faced some issues all his life, which is almost certainly not the case, then his biggest issues are internal, not external. And if you could really just be there as a friend, and no matter what he thinks he's changing to, he's still the same person. He's the same human being on the inside, the same person that needs salvation, that needs forgiveness of sins. So I would put my emphasis on being a friend and really trying to lead him to the Lord, because otherwise you're almost fighting in the natural to stop him from going in that direction. Okay?
Right. And this was the thing that he has said. He said he's always felt this way, you know. But
And I don't think he's making it up. And the struggles are something very deep that you and I can't imagine. But I pray for him. I'm sure you're doing that, number one. Number two, just be there as a friend and try to lead him to the Lord and make that the main issue. And number three, send him to sexchangeregret.com. Say, check this out. Maybe you should do this before you go further. And maybe you can get help from the inside out. And then you'll also benefit by helpforfamilies.com. May the Lord use you to touch this young man. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Andrew, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
Are you there?
I'm okay. Here.
I wanted to speak to you about transgender a little bit, the whole bathroom thing. I understand the concern, and I totally respect your viewpoint. I do think that there's a group that you should also address that isn't the pedophile group. And I'm saying that from a loving and a gospel way, because my friends aren't the pedophiles. They're the 9-year-old kids.
Yes, yes, of course.
Don't quite have their, you know, minds fully developed. I know that you love these these kids and their souls, and we're not here to necessarily understand everything. But this bathroom thing is so overblown. I read your article on Bruce Springsteen, and what kind of gets me is he's spinning it for himself a little bit. You know what I mean? I understand the stand that he's taking, but it has to be a very well thought out stand, and I think yours is, and I read your article. I don't like it when people take the stand improperly. And
yeah, but it's the politically, you know, Andrew, nothing is deeply thought out in that there are talking points and people rally around the talking points.
Understood.
And they, I'm not saying that he's never thought the issue through. I'm just saying it's unlikely. This is the rallying cry, and everyone comes around it. And here's the other thing. Whenever I do address these issues, I'm always saying we need to have compassion on those who struggle. And I've brought up many, many times, some 3 or 4 year old kid, a boy thinks he's a girl. He's not a transgender activist. He didn't get this from some political website. And now the majority of those who identify as transgender when they're younger, when they get past puberty, no longer do, according to studies that I've read and seen, which would say then that you're not, quote, born that way or born with a female brain, a male body, if there was such a thing that was that simple. And there are some cases of biological or chromosomal abnormalities, but that we need to look at like we would some other handicap. So yes, compassion is absolutely called for, always in order, absolutely. That being said, we need some moral, social sanity. And then once you let the man in dressed as a woman, you can't ask him any questions because he says, I identify as female. Then how do you keep the heterosexual predator out? He says, well, I'm going to put on a... remember, predators are predators. They're wicked people. They take advantage. They're not nice people. How are you going to keep them out? Thank you for the call, Andrew. I appreciate the tone. We go to Des Moines, Iowa. Chris, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, what a privilege.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, hey, anyway, I know you're a busy man. The whole thing is this transgender thing, and nobody, I don't know if anybody's addressed it or I just missed it. But, you know, what about, you know, the people that are incarcerated? So what, we start putting men with women, women with men? I mean,
well, actually,
you know, where do you draw the line on that?
Actually, yes. It's actually happening, sir, that a man who identifies as a woman ends up in the women's prison. Yeah.
Well,
and vice versa.
I was in law enforcement for 30 years, and we segregated because of for their own safety, not because we were discriminating or hating on them, but it's for their own safety, not to put them in population, because unfortunately, you know, people will take advantage of that situation. And getting to Bruce Springsteen and all these people, to me, they're like gnashing their teeth at God. You know, they're like shaking their fists and gnashing their teeth at God. And but you know, the devil, Satan himself, he's the one that operates in the realm of confusion, which is, I think you addressed that earlier. And this is, it's just a state of confusion that this country is in, because they've taken their eyes off the cross. They've taken their eyes off of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and Chris, we're taking our eyes off fundamental things, like, for example, that God is the creator, and that he created us in his image, which means every life is sacred, beginning in the womb. So we become desensitized there. We become a culture of death that's constantly entertained by death and dying. Then how does he create us? He creates us male and female. So gender distinctions are important. The world operates based on those. And if somebody has a legitimate handicap, an emotional handicap, a mental handicap, a physical handicap, we are compassionate towards them, but we don't turn the world upside down based on that. If you, say, as a white man, truly believed that you're a Native American, we can't give you benefits that only come to Native Americans, no matter what you perceive. We care for you, but we don't celebrate it, and we probably don't change your name either. We'll be right back. Thank you for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm a pediatrician, and we take care of kids, all kids, and we want them to be healthy and safe. That's what you need to do with these same kids. When they go to the bathroom, they want to go to the bathroom. That's it.
All right, that was, these are doctors talking about transgender youth. This is on the YouTube channel. It's a Human Rights Campaign video on the YouTube channel. And, hey, if a little kid, the boy, feels he's a girl, then when he's got to go, he goes to the girl's room, because we take care of all kids, meaning that the struggles of the transgender child are superimposed on everybody else. So it doesn't matter how everybody else feels, because this is how the kid feels today. And if he feels that he's back to a boy the next day and uses the boy's room, then, hey, we've got to be sensitive. 866-348-7884. This is Michael Brown. Earlier in the broadcast, I got a call from a woman who works at a women's shelter in Boston, and she is required by law to allow men to use the women's shelter to give them a bed, to let them use the showers, the bathrooms with the other ladies, no matter how the other ladies feel. If they simply say, I identify as a woman, she is not allowed to ask for documentation. What documentation would be? Nothing. So here you have someone maybe who's legitimately struggling. Their struggle is superimposed on everybody else, and you open the door wide for all kinds of predators. If you have not read my open letter to Bruce Springsteen and his band, please do. It's all over the internet now, but you can read it at stream.org. Perhaps he'll actually read it. It's getting shared thousands of times. It's going viral. As I said, it's on numerous websites, but you can read it on stream.org, where it's been now shared in probably less than the first 24 hours. What's it up to now? 26,000 share, 26.6. So it's getting attention. It's written graciously, and it deals with real life issues in a practical way. The world is going mad around us, friends. More of the same from the church is only going to produce more of the same. We've got to determine this is it. We're going to live for God. We've got to determine no more compromise, no more playing games. Joey, grab clip number 6. I want you to hear a little bit more of this video. This is on the Human Rights Campaign, world's largest gay activist organization. It's on their YouTube channel. It was published April 7th. It's entitled Doctors Speak Out for Trans Youth. Let's listen.
First, the research shows us that there are many, many children who identify as trans who experience very high levels of anxiety, depression, and ultimately suicide if they're not connected with affirming resources. When kids are affirmed, they learn better, they're able to have better relationships with their peers, they feel more support from their family system and more connected with the people around them.
Lawmakers introducing bills that make it difficult for trans kids to survive in school or in society. It's horrific when that happens. We need to support all of our citizens and make the world safe for these kids.
All right, so a few questions. How do we know if that kid is genuinely transgender or just confused? And then they're going to grow out of it. And what do you do about traumatizing all the other kids by the presence of a boy in the girl's bathroom? And what if there are deeper issues that we can get to help these kids? Because doctors are still not sure what we're actually dealing with and what the issues are psychoses or other things. Why not invest our energy into helping get to the root cause of their struggles? Isn't that wisdom? Isn't that love? Isn't that compassion? 866-34-TRUTH. Your calls when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. My joy to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I've got an article out, also on stream.org, about the man who identifies as a woman and now identifies as a mythical female dragon. I'm not making this up. This man, woman, dragon has a large Facebook following. And I've got an illustrated video. In fact, if you just want to watch the video, go to Ask Dr. Brown on YouTube, Ask Dr. Brown on YouTube, and you'll see it as our newest video. As I point out in the article, this man is no more a woman than he's a dragon. And this man is no more a dragon than Bruce Jenner is a woman. And yet this is we're just supposed to accept whatever someone feels or says. Then that's who they are. This is social insanity. You say, but what about the person who genuinely struggles? We have compassion on them. We encourage the medical and psychological profession to try to find out what's going on from the inside out rather than hormone treatments and sex change surgery. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, doesn't it? If you could help someone from the inside out to find wholeness without having to be on hormones the rest of their lives and without having the ability to fully be a man or a woman, if they do go through sex change, they'll never be a complete male or female in that respect. You know, a man who has sex change surgery can never have a baby as a woman. So wouldn't it be better to help them from the inside out if we could? You say, well, we really don't know a lot of what we're dealing with. When I say we, I mean from everything I've read and heard, even the psychiatrists, the psychologists, and medical professionals who are trans activists, they would say we're in a primitive understanding of a lot of this, even understand how the brain works. So you're going to make base laws on this? You're going to change things in society based on this? I mean, how does that work? You say, well, what should they do? Well, hey, there are solutions other than have a biological male come into the ladies' room. There are plenty of other solutions. But when they're put forward, they're often shot down as discriminatory. For example, there are parents who insist that little Johnny, who's now Jane, has to use the girls' room at school. No, but we have another unisex room. It's the faculty bathroom. It's right down the hallway. And that's where male or female faculty go. So we'll make special provision for your child to go there, even though it's faculty bathroom. No, Jane must use the girls' room. I mean, there are cases like this. That's bigoted. That's society phobic. That's imposing the struggles of a confused child on everybody else. That's unfair to everyone. You say, yeah, but they want to be accepted by the other girls. But the other girls know that Johnny isn't a girl. And Johnny's made differently than they are. And when it's time to, you know, to change for Jim, they don't want to change around Johnny because he doesn't look the way they do. And also, you're presuming now that Johnny identifies as a female lesbian, right? Let's figure this out. If Johnny, does Johnny have no sexual desire? Because if Johnny's still male and is attracted to women, then what's he doing in the girls' locker room? Yeah, it gets complex, doesn't it? God help us. 866-34-TRUTH. And all North Carolina sought to do, was keep everybody safe. It's that simple. All right, Professor John Corvino, gay activist, a nice guy. We've had some very pleasant interaction over the years. He said the idea that this is about safety and security, it's kind of like when someone says that they ate all the ice cream in order to make room in the freezer. Okay, Professor Corvino, John, tell that to the caller from last hour who says that men are now allowed in the women's shelters if they identify as women. Please tell that to that caller and tell all the women who are upset over this that they're wrong. Would you do that? All right, to the phone, starting in Winston. No, we will start in Raleigh-Durham. Anthony, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless you, brother, and how are you this fine day?
Everything's good, thank you.
Well, you know, it's just truly and truly sad. I got to hear a message from where I go to church in Durham at First Baptist. And, you know, it talks about in chapter 5 of verse 8, it says that we are in darkness, but we have come into the light through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also in the Bible, it talks about in Hebrews that the people have drifted and fallen and turned away. You know, I read an article in the paper. You see two black women carrying an all-gender bathroom sign and changing them. Who gives them that right? All it is, you know, the devil is working, and it's just really sad that, you know, people are going to stand up and just really come to know what is going to really happen to them. It's like I was hearing my aunt and her sister talk a few moments ago, that, you know, Sharpton and Jackson and Barber are supposed to be preaching God's word in a church that he let them have. But they're going to stand before the Lord one day, and he's going to say, what were you doing to glorify my name and not feeding your sheep that you're supposed to be a shepherd of?
Yeah, you know, and let me say this. In many, many ways, look, they're fine pastors and leaders. Thankfully, many leaders that are honoring the Lord and doing what's right. But in so many cases, we have a country club Christianity. We've cultivated for decades now, and we're reaping the results of it. It's almost as if everyone is supposed to be going to a training camp for the NFL to get in shape. But instead, what they do is they go to all-you-can-eat buffets every day, all day. And then after 3 months of pigging out, they go to play a game in the NFL. They'll tank in the first quarter, and their team will get crushed 100-0. And that's what's happening in our churches. In so many cases, we're not equipping. We're entertaining. We're keeping people happy. And for the pastors and leaders that are equipping, that are raising up spiritual soldiers, not to hurt people, but to help people, I commend you. For those who are trying to keep the people happy, rather than get them healthy and built up to go out and be world changers, time to change your strategy, because this is sinking our nation. Compromised pulpits are sinking our nation. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Jay, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Glad you took my call. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I read somewhere that 75% of Americans identify as Christian. And it's all about money.
What percentage did you say?
I heard it was 75%.
Yeah, 70. It used to be 85%. Now it's dropped. I mean, like 10, 12 years ago. Now it's dropped to 75%. But many of those who dropped out, they're not atheists. They just don't identify with a Christian denomination or group. Many of them still pray, still believe in God. So we still have a high level of religiosity in America. And the vast majority of Americans identify as Christian. How many are truly practicing the faith? Obviously, that's a much lower number.
Well, my question is this, and this relates to the last caller. You know, if like to say 60% of those people actually believe that, you know, homosexuality is wrong and that gay marriage is wrong and the transgender thing is wrong, then why aren't we pushing against these companies having 60% of those people boycott, say, like Disney, who says they're not going to do business in North Carolina because of this law? If they
lost
60% of their business tomorrow, they'd think differently. Now,
yes, sir. And this is what gay activists have done for years. They have won over the businesses, and they have convinced the businesses that it is good business to stand up for them. And then many businesses see this as the new civil rights thing. And yeah, so for example, we are in the process of getting rid of PayPal on our website. It's secure. We want to make sure we replace it with something equally secure, if not even better, for those who order online or give online and use PayPal. But we are looking into the best alternative. As soon as we have it in place, we will cancel our PayPal account. And look, you can't boycott everyone. If we were boycotting everyone, I wouldn't have a computer screen in front of me. I wouldn't have a cell phone to use. I wouldn't have a plane to fly. You know, I wouldn't be able to fly in an airline. And probably very few hotels I could stay at because gay activism is so pervasive. But when something crosses a line, when something is outlandish, that's when you have to say, okay, enough is enough. I'm taking a stand here. And it's essential to do it. And we may be helping to launch something to encourage others to drop PayPal as a case in point. And basically say, hey, look, if you do this, in conscience, we're not trying to hurt you, but in conscience, we can't give you our money when you're slapping us in the face and standing against our very rights. We can't give you our money in good conscience, and we're not going to. Faith-driven consumers, Jay, this is the very thing that they do. Faith-driven consumers, they are trying to support pro-life, pro-family companies, pro-Christian companies, and those that say, hey, we're going to bash your rights and we're gonna do this and that, then, sorry, we won't give you our business. Thank you, sir, for the call.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So if you haven't heard, this was on MRCTV.org, reported by Ashley Ray Goldenberg, April 6th. The White House is sponsoring Anti-Gender Stereotypes Conference. Yes. The White House will be holding a conference to encourage toy companies and the media to, quote, break down gender stereotypes because not enough girls are choosing to pursue careers in STEM fields, STEM standing for science, technology, engineering, and math. So they must fight against gender stereotypes, and they're encouraging toy companies and the media to break down gender stereotypes. In other words, like Target did, like the biggest toy company in Sweden did, you don't have boys' toys and girls' toys anymore. Madness. Madness. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Plano, Texas. Stephanie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Always enjoy listening to you. Thank you so much for taking my call. I know you've got full lines, so just want to be quick. So 8 years ago, genetically modified foods were taboo, and when I talked about it, people thought I was a crazy person. They didn't take anything that I said seriously, and, you know, being a proponent for organic and local foods, it was something that I felt would never catch on, and I totally was against the 100th monkey theory and said, this is just never going to work. Well, now you can see every single store, every single restaurant, everybody's caught on, and now they're all providing health foods, and everything's health conscious and genetically modified, free and natural and real, and trending more and more and more toward that. So given that as a very prominent and, you know, very evident example that's probably present in every market that's listening right now, I know it's present in here in Dallas Metroplex, it's changing everywhere, and so that's a testament to how when people demand change and they vote with their dollar and they kind of set boundaries that, you know, things can change because these corporations control everything. So, you know, we as people, we have two responsibilities as Christians, okay, as a Christian nation. We're too passive. Like you were saying, you know, we fall away, we do what's convenient, we're distracted by Dancing with the Stars and American Idol instead of spending time in our prayer closets and making sure that we have a communication with God and that we're treating our fellow citizens around us as lights and shining to change things. So we need to spend more time praying for sure, but we also have to spend more free time setting boundaries with the corporate controlled, not God-driven politicians, because those guys are going to do what we say if we control the corporation.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah, look, somehow what we have to do, you're exactly right, is keep getting a message out and keep backing that message with data and with anecdotes, because right now only one side is getting heard on these issues. Things are put out in such a biased way, and it's extraordinary to see the reports, to see the misreporting, to see the interviews that give one side only and either ignore or mock the other side. And let me just tie something together here for a second. I am absolutely not an expert on food issues. However, by God's grace, since August 24th of 2014, have radically, completely transformed my whole relationship to food and eat only super healthy, plant-based stuff for the most part, you know, no genetically modified, I mean, no anything, just super healthy, and it's wonderfully transformed my life physically. But I wonder if some of the problems that we're having with children, with adults who've eaten a certain way for years, I wonder what other effects some of our genetic modified foods are having on people. You know, the hormonal issues and other things like that. I wonder how much we actually know about the effects and if there might even be issues, hormonal and other, and all types of confusion that have been tied in with diet. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Again, I'm just putting that out there because I am a zero expert on it. But you have to wonder sometimes.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, there's emerging research that's coming out now saying that, you know, one example is autism, right? They're saying that it starts in the gut or it has a relationship with the gut and gut bacteria and different types of, you know, alternative therapies like, you know, promoting the right probiotics and stuff like that will actually lower the effects of the social element of autism, from what I understand. And, you know, we know from evidence that is available, but that is kept kind of hush, that the genetically modified foods kind of kill that gut bacteria.
Let me just say, one other thing quick, is that I sat with a couple, pastor and his wife, in Sacramento, California, about a year and a half ago, and they told me their story. Two autistic kids, terribly autistic. Now, there's some listening say, no, we tried everything. We tried diet modification. I'm not saying there's a simple solution or anything. However, this couple went through every possible solution they could, and medication and treatment and care and all of this, with terrible struggles with two autistic children. And then they researched diet-related things and made a complete radical dietary change, and the kids now are totally normal. They've written about it. It's over a period of years. So in some cases, that can tie in. So, yeah, I think that I never minimize the struggles of a kid. All right, if a four-year-old kid says, I'm a boy, even though they're a biological female, well, they didn't get that from Hollywood. They're not a trans activist. It's a struggling kid. But there's so many struggles, so many other issues, and some of them, some, it appears, may be related to diet. Hey, Stephanie, thank you for calling and the larger issues you raise. Absolutely. By the way, I'm out of time, but Anthony in Dallas, how many kids identify as transgender? The numbers that activists put forward in Charlotte in terms of the population, they said 7 in 1,000, which as far as I know is high. All right. As far as I know, that's a high number, but that's what they put forward. So you're talking about a tiny minority. If they're struggling, they need our compassion, but we don't turn society upside down on their behalf. All right, friends, I've got a very special announcement for you based on the response last week. We're doing this one more week. My new book, The Grace Controversy, will be out in about 3 weeks. It answers the 12 most common questions people ask about grace, including things like, does God see me as righteous all the time? Are we made completely holy the moment we're saved? If the hyper-grace message is not true, why are so many believers transformed by it? Is God always pleased with us as his children? Can we lose our salvation? 12 questions. I take them up. I answer them in clear form, but in edifying form, full of scripture. And the first printing, we only do this with the first printing, first edition, we number them. So if it's the first 50 or 100 or 200, we number them, all right? I sign them to you with a scripture reference and signed, numbered, pre-ordered. So this is very, very unique opportunity. Only $20 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978 to order. As many copies as you want. 1-800-278-9978 to order, or go to AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line, when the world is going increasingly crazy, all the more do we need our sanity.